This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1321. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded July 4th, VOA funding update. TV becomes FM in New York. X-Bander comeback. Frequency and format swaps in Boston, Cincinnati, Salt Lake. Brazilians come and go. St. Helena this November. New frequencies from Turkey, China, New Zealand. And the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Following up last week's report about a possible reprieve in funding cuts for VOA English and other language broadcasts, that was just the first step from a House committee. Kim Elliott soon linked us to the full report, House Report 109-520, giving all the numbers. I'll round them off. His summary says the Appropriations Committee recommendation provides $173 million for VOA and restores proposed reductions to VOA broadcasts and radio, as well as Worldwide English. The committee recommendation includes $6 million for the Worldwide English Division, an increase of $1 million above the request. You can read the full House report in DX Listening Digest 6094 at worldofradio.com. Kim emphasized that this still awaited action by the full House, the Senate, and then a conference between the two to work out the final text and figures. Meanwhile, Greek News reported on June 26 that Greek Americans and Turkish Americans were uniting to try to save VOA Greek and Turkish services. Putting this in perspective was a June 30th posting on the Save VOA English blog spot. The Senate Appropriations Committee approved $661 million for international broadcasting. That's $6 million below the budget request. But note, this does not include funding to continue English radio broadcasting and several other language services. The budget bill now has to be reconciled with a House of Representatives version, which restored funding for English and other language services. The Senate bill included $661 million for the Broadcasting Board of Governors, $617 million for international broadcasting operations, $36 million for Radio and TV Marti, and $8 million for broadcasting capital improvements. The Senate was planning to go to the floor with the bill after the July 4th recess. Then the Senate and House versions had to be reconciled in conference. And finally, the President would have to sign the bill. Finally, Save America's Voice emphasizes the future of VOA English remains in doubt if the Senate version is accepted, because it does not restore funding for VOA English and several other language services. Did you know that VOA published a scholarly journal called New Europe Review? Well, not anymore. Sergei Sosedkin forwards a notice from their website that they regret to announce they're discontinuing it effective July 1st. It says the review attracted an elite readership soon after its launch in June 2004 as we presented timely and thoughtful analyses of stories and trends of interest to our international audience. It's not only in English, but Albanian, Bosnian, Croatian, Greek, Macedonian, Russian, Serbian, and Ukrainian. Well, I looked at their website, and there were still a number of articles linked in English. Let's hope they leave them available, even though they've ceased publication. It's www.neweuropereview.com. Another intriguing legislative item brought to our attention by KimAndrewElliott.com. The Global Online Freedom Act, unanimously passed by House Subcommittee on Africa, Global Human Rights, and International Operations. Internet service providers could face fines of up to $2 million per offense and imprisonment for blocking access to any U.S. government-sponsored website or content, such as Voice of America. That was a June 22nd report from CNET News. It was sponsored by Representative Chris Smith, who also issued a press release about it. Well, that's all well and good, especially concerning countries such as China, which try to block access to VOA on the Internet and any other way. My question is, how in the world does the U.S. plan to enforce this abroad? Leading up to the successful launch of Space Shuttle Discovery on July 4th, we had a lot of info in DX Listening Digest about frequencies to monitor, not only on VHF and UHF, but on HF, which have been used previously when there is a space shuttle mission. I won't go into all of those now, but I'll remind you of a few. The ham station, WA3NAN, rebroadcasts shuttle audio on sideband, of course, 3860-7185, 14295, and 21395, according to Tom Sevart, N2UHC. WA3NAN is the Goddard Amateur Radio Club. More info at garc.gsfc.nasa.gov. Linguist Richard E. Wood in Hawaii is getting active again in medium wave DXing, and here's an interesting item from him in IRCA DX Monitor regarding KZMP 1540 in University Park, Texas, which had been reported by some stateside, or rather mainland, monitors. He says the four subcontinental languages on Radio Salam Namaste are probably Urdu, used by Pakistanis and Indian Muslims who say Salam, also Hindi, Punjabi, and Bengali, who say Namaste and also Salam, and Punjabi, used by Sikhs, among others. Punjabi is heard on more North American AM stations than any of the other three, while Hindi, Urdu, and Bengali, or Bangla, are far ahead on shortwave and on VOA Thailand 1575. That's because the big three are the leading languages of nation-states, while Punjabi is not. The television listing site Zaptuit.com reported that Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network is bringing another show populated by flesh and blood actors to its late-night world. Starting Monday, July 10th, Pee-wee's Playhouse joins Adult Swim's weeknight lineup. They plan to air all 45 episodes of the half-hour series, plus a 1988 Christmas special that has rarely been seen since its initial airing. Paul Rubens, who created Pee-wee as a member of the L.A. comedy troupe The Groundlings in the late 70s, says he's delighted to be part of Adult Swim. Pee-wee's Playhouse was part of CBS Saturday morning lineup in 1986 and ran off and on for 5 years. And I'm mentioning because it's not just for children. Scheduling is 10 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Via Kevin Redding, ABDX, this from the CGC Communicator of June 27th. A verbal report indicates that WNYZ-LP, Channel 6 in New York, New York, has become an FM instead of a TV station. There is reportedly no visual carrier, but the oral carrier contains a 19 kHz FM stereo pilot tone, which is not the stereo system used by TV stations, and the audio is grossly overmodulated for TV standards. That, of course, is on 87.75 MHz, easily received on many radios. And they're asking for confirmation from listeners or viewers in New York about this report. Whether a TV station can legally convert itself into an FM station is a high-level question for FCC's Media Bureau in Washington. There's a similar case in Los Angeles where KSFVLP Channel 6 on Mount Harvard, owned by Venture Technologies, has also been behaving like an FM station, although a visual carrier has remained. Meanwhile, there's a setback for the same company, Venture Technologies. The FCC revoked the license for two low-power stations on Channel 53 and 59 in Bakersfield, California. Stations were apparently never built, and requests for an investigation into whether Venture willfully, knowingly, and unlawfully made false certifications in the dismissed license applications is pending before the Enforcement Bureau. Playbill Arts, via Kevin Redding, says Boston classical music lovers can rest assured their local station will stay on the air. According to the Globe, WCRB 102.5 is being sold to Greater Media, negotiating to sell its frequency to New Jersey-based Nassau Broadcasting. Greater Media would retain the WKLB call letters and country music format of 99.5 and switch them to 102.5, a stronger signal in Boston, while Nassau would launch a classical format on 99.5. More about this from Scott Feibusch, Northeast Radio Watch of July 3rd. For Nassau, the new WCRB 99.5 will mesh nicely with its existing network of four WBach classical stations, stretching all the way up from the New Hampshire seacoast to down east Maine. These WBOX signals get their programming from WCRB's network, so the purchase will bring the programming source in-house. However, the move of WCRB to 99.5 will prompt complaints from loyal listeners in Boston, Brookline, the western suburbs, and the South Shore, where the 99.5 signal is either weak or overwhelmed by stronger nearby FM transmitters. Our best wishes to Harry Helms, who runs the Future of Radio blog. He's taking a break, he says, as he's concentrating on cancer treatment. His post of June 29th is especially worth reading as he reflects on what's worthwhile in life. And if you'd like to post some comments wishing him well, you may do so at futureofradio.typepad.com. In ABDX, Mike Westfall in Los Alamos, New Mexico, says his local graveyarder, KRSN 1490, just came back on the air June 29th after a year's silence under new ownership. The tower they're using is rather unusual for an AM station. It does double duty as a cell phone tower. Kurt Deegan in Southeast Florida notes that the expander in Miami Springs on 1700 WJCC continues to broadcast daily. It was first reported back on the air June 6th by Tony Simon. It had gone off the air at the end of February and was presumed gone forever. As the owners presumably decided they wanted to keep their original in-band station instead, WNMA on 1210. Also in IRCA, Scott Feibusch explains a number of broadcasters affected by the five-year X-band sunset date, including Multicultural Broadcasting, owning these two stations, have a petition pending before the FCC asking for reconsideration on the grounds that it's not doing what it was meant to accomplish, that is, reducing interference on the original AM band. They request an immediate stay of enforcement and for special temporary authority to allow stations that went silent to return to the air while the FCC considers the petition. V. Artie Bigley, this from the Cincinnati Post, July 1st, headlined, Clear Channel Throttles Liberal Talk Radio. The Revolution of Talk Radio, WCKY 1530, and Homer the Sports Animal, WSAI 1360, are trading places. Clear Channel, which owns eight stations in the market, announced it's swapping dial positions of its liberal talk and sports talk stations effective July 7th. Of course, the much bigger signal is the 50 kilowatts on 1530, which will get sports, and the liberal talk relegated to the weaker signal on 1360 with only 5 kilowatts. Apparently, the call signs will also be swapped once again. In ABDX, Michael Richard in Wyoming says, I noted a format change at KUTR 820, Taylorsville, Utah. Looks like Bonneville gave up on the women's talk programming and is going for just an LDS-based music format, confirmed by a friend who works at Bonneville. By the way, KUTR runs IBOC during the day. Not sure if the audio bandwidth opens up at night or if it's still chopped at 5 kilohertz. Art Blair in California says it's explained on their website, now called Soft Sounds, www.utaham820.com. One of Canada's two remaining private shortwave stations was missing in late June and early July. Nothing heard on 6070 from CFRX Toronto. And we were afraid they might be gone for good, but we were glad to hear that they were back on July 2nd, confirmed in Michigan by Liz Cameron, Don Hosmer, and Steve Lair. CBC Radio has a lot of new programs for the summer season, running about 10 weeks from the beginning of July. Some of these also air on Radio Canada International during the morning block, replacing the final half hour of The Current and the final half hour of Sounds Like Canada. That is at 13:31 and a half and 15:31 and a half UT, Monday through Friday, and also on Saturday on 9515, 13655, and 17800. One we've particularly enjoyed so far was on Tuesdays at 13:30, The Contrarians. It's also on UT Thursdays at 0130 on 9755, as it happens, it's also contracted to only 1 hour. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1321. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Our thanks this week and every week to Andy O'Brien, who provides the podcast and MP3 versions of World of Radio at www.obrinsweb.com/or.htm. A QSL tip from Brian Prokop in Ohio on the AMFM TVDX at QTH.net list concerning ZNS 104.5 in Nassau, Bahamas. He says they identify the call sign as standing for Zephyr News Sunshine. You never know what Radio Havana is going to do next. For example, in the morning, their usual 11805 frequency was replaced June 28th only by 9600. And the English broadcast at 2030 UT doesn't even appear on their schedules, but it's usually heard on 11760. I heard it once on 13680, and Bernie O'Shea in Ontario heard it on 11655, as well as 9505. We haven't heard anything about Radio Venceremos, El Salvador, for many years, since the war there was more or less settled and that clandestine station ceased to exist. But here is a press report dated July 3rd from Diario Latino de José Alba on the Condiche list, that the parents of a former announcer on Radio Venceremos, known as Mariposa, have been murdered. After being tortured, she's sure it is a political act. Their names were Francisco Antonio Manzanares and Juana Monjaraz de Manzanares. In the Nassau flash sheet, Jim Ronda in Tulsa reports Radio Misiones Internacionales, HRMI in Honduras, on 3340. June 27th, around 0330, with a presumed ID. However, on July 3rd at 0340, Liz Cameron in Michigan tells DX Listening Digest she heard the same station on 5010. It was barely audible and overmodulated, not to be mistaken for Madagascar, since it was in Spanish. 5010 is the sesquiharmonic of 3340. Last week we had a report that Radio Inconfidencia in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, was about to reactivate on 6010. And now that's been confirmed by listeners in Brazil in the Radio Escutas group, such as Paulo Cabral, heard it in the daytime at 1810 UT. Also reported at 1030 UT by Luis Shiny Neto and at 2330 by Reinaldo Gomes. This, of course, is bad news for the Colombian and the Mexican already fighting over 6010, La Voz de Tu Conciencia, and Radio Mil. No sign, however, of the other Inconfidencia frequency. I'd say it's very unlikely they'll actually be coming back on 15190. These items came to us through the Panorama column in Atividade de Xix of Celio Romais, who adds that Radio Globo in Rio de Janeiro, which also reactivated recently on 11805, is there some days, but missing other days, you never know from one to the next. From the Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union via the Media Network blog, Brazil has announced it would use Japanese technology as the basis for its terrestrial digital TV broadcast. It chose the Japanese standard in preference to Europe or the U.S. Brazil will be the first foreign country to introduce the Japanese format, according to GG Press. Brazil plans to make some adjustments to the Japanese technology. The new system is expected to be operational within 7 years, and the transition to DTV from the current analog version will occur over 10 years. An update on the project to provide a shortwave transmitter to Radio St. Helena via Brian Clark in New Zealand. Organizer Robert Kipp has additional information via Peter Grenfell. The project to acquire antennas for shortwave later this year is not just a short-term or one-off operation. The equipment will be permanently installed and under full control of Radio St. Helena, which will decide how and when the shortwave broadcasts take place in the future. Current focus is to get the equipment to the island and the station built. Robert says we are within the time plan and intend to ship the entire station, except for the beam antenna, from England in mid-July. The beam will accompany me on the ship at the end of September. As of mid-October, I plan to be on the island and to start putting all the equipment together. They'll be trying for the first weekend in November 2006 for the revival broadcast, hoping to beam a program from Radio St. Helena to Japan in the local St. Helena Morning of Sunday, November 5th, followed by a program to New Zealand. One, I suppose that's because that's where they're getting most of their financial support, rather than from Europe or North America. More at www.sthelena.se/radioproject. Stand by for some more changes in Voice of Nigeria scheduling at dxing.info, July 3rd. Torsten Hamann in Germany says he heard the French service announce there will be a new schedule by July 10th, with French at 18 to 19 on 7255 instead of at 21 to 22. However, he had not heard the English service announce any new times and frequencies, but there is a new email address for that, englishvon@yahoo.com. Last week, we reported that Zimbabwe had started jamming medium wave 909 to prevent the Voice of America's Studio 7 program from being heard, and would it also affect SW Radio Africa on 1197 at 03 to 05 UT via Lesotho? The answer is yes. Jerry Jackson of SWRA issued a press release saying they are now being hit by jamming. However, it's centered in Harare, and the station is still audible elsewhere in the country. From the People's Daily Online, China, via Kim Elliott, and I Know About Zambia, mainly a rural TV project underway. It also says the state-run ZNBC is replacing shortwave with FM band transmitters. After completion of the rural TV project, ZNBC will replace radio transmitters in most parts of the country which receive signals using shortwave. Here's one still being heard, Radio Zambia on 4910, Jim Ronda in Tulsa, for the Nasfa Flash Sheet with bouncy Afro-pop vocals at 0254 UT, June 26th. Ulmarkvik in Norrköping, Sweden, reports an extraordinary medium-wave reception just about at midsummer around 2330 UT on 1485. He heard NRK in Svalbard, also known as Spitsbergen, with NRK Program 1. Positive ID, no other Norwegian station on the frequency. This, of course, is when there is the least night and the most midnight sun. But even so, there was apparently enough ionization to propagate the signal with a low solar angle. For many years, churches in Ireland have been broadcasting on the Citizens Band Sunday services for the benefit of those who can't make it to church, but it's not exactly legal. Now, via Media Network, we learn that the Commission for Communications Regulations has issued a licensing scheme for frequencies between 27.6 and 27.99 megahertz. Andy Sennett also tells us that Just a Minute is back with a new series on BBC Radio 4, that funny panel game. Original airing is Mondays at 17:30 UT, also available the following week on demand. And Richard Cuff tells us that President Putin of Russia will appear on BBC's Have Your Say, the World Service, Sunday, July 9th at 19:06. Note the special time because of Wimbledon. Radio Slovakia International did terminate shortwave broadcasts early July 1st. Andy Sennett says, for the time being, output remains the same, but they have only two full-time and two part-time staff. I don't think it's viable in the long term. Insight Central Europe has an informal structure. I imagine other broadcasters will make allowances and expect less from Slovakia. We're referring to their continuing broadcasts via World Radio Network and perhaps via satellite. On WRN, there are at least weekdays at 16:30 UT, and to North America also at midnight 30. It's official, Montenegro is a new country, so says the ARRL and the DXCC, country number 336. Current Montenegrin ham prefixes are 403, 406, YT3, YT6, YU3, YU6, YZ3, and YZ6, according to 425 DX News. Mike Barraclough in the World DX Club in England reconfirms there is a three-minute English news bulletin from the Macedonian radio station in Greece on 9935. It's Monday to Friday at 11:57 UT. DX Mix News Bulgaria reports a frequency change for the Voice of Turkey and their Turkish broadcast to North America at 22 to midnight 55 UT. Had been on 7300. Now it's on 7230. Yes, they've moved from the edge to inside the 40-meter handband. Last week we reported China National Radio 1 on 14180, no doubt there to jam a clandestine such as Sound of Hope. But if the clandestine moves, so do they. And in subsequent mornings, we've heard them on 14260 and later than that on 14310. Although as of July 3rd and 4th, we were not hearing them at all in the 20-meter band. If you do hear them, note that they take a five-minute break at the top of the hour. They turn off the transmitter so they can be sure what frequency their opponent is using. Naturally, amateurs have every reason to be upset about this intrusion. On July 2nd, I found the Chinese station interfering with a Marco net, for example, the medical net, at 1400 on 14309. Clarifying last week's report about Shiokaze Sea Breeze, the transmission from Japan via Taiwan for North Korea, BBC Monitoring says at 10:30 to 11 UT on 9855, it is scheduled in Korean on Sunday and Wednesday, English on Monday and Thursday, Japanese on Tuesday and Friday, and Chinese on Saturday. The other broadcast at 20:30 to 21 on 9785 is in Japanese every day. However, Ron Howard in California has been monitoring this every day, and he says he observes the language rotation as follows. At 10:30, that is, in English on Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Japanese or Korean on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and he's not heard any Chinese. The same kind of jamming affecting this is also heard on 11750 against what is supposed to be the Freedom North Korea broadcast via Taiwan, monitored July 1st, at 1000 UT. CNR1 was there until 1000, overlapping the jamming, which started already at 0954. Radio New Zealand International has changed its schedule again. Andy Sennett on the Media Network blog points out they put a new one on their website effective July 3rd. Here's the analog portion from 1300 on 7145, from 1650 on 6095, from 1851 on 9630, from 1951 on 15720, from 2236 on 13730. Note that one in particular. 0459 moving to 9615, 0659 to 7145, and from 1100 on 9870. Some of the same frequencies are used in DRM at other times. If you've been listening to 15720 in analog in the North American evenings, that's now in DRM, supposedly, from 2236 to 0458. It's preceded until 2235 in DRM by 13730, so in effect at 2235, the two frequencies exchange analog in DRM. Mike Cherry, VE7SKA, on Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, reports to WTFDA that on June 27th and 28th, Tropo Duct connected Hawaii with the west coast of Vancouver Island on 2 meters. He did hear a beacon from there, but was not able to work any stations. Meanwhile, in Georgia on June 28th, Brock Whaley succeeded in picking up 4 different countries on TV Channel 4, U.S., Mexico, Canada, and Cuba. An entirely different propagation mode there, of course, sporadic E. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued July 4th. Solar activity very low to low. Geomagnetic field mostly quiet to unsettled. ANK indices peaking at 20 and 4, July 5th, 12th, 25th, and 31st. Dipping to 5 and 2, July 8th to 10th, and 16th to 23rd. Solar flux dropping from 85 July 10th to 75 on the 12th to 22nd, back up to 85 from the 24th. That's World of Radio 1321. I'm Glenn Hauser, inviting you back next week.